Welcome to Ask Governor Meyer. I'm your host, Shirley Min. This evening is exactly what it sounds like, a chance for Delawareans to hear directly from their governor and to ask questions in real time, which means Delaware Governor Matt Meyer is with us in our Philadelphia studios right now, to my left. Governor Meyer, great to have you with us.
Good evening, Shirley. It's great to be here.
And to be clear, this show is being produced by WHYY and Delaware Public Media with editorial independence from the governor's office. We alone prepared the questions and topics, and our producers will be screening calls for clarity and relevance only. And based on submissions we've already received, we are confident we will hear a diversity of voices this evening. Now, to that point, we also have two expert political reporters joining us this hour, ready with their questions. Sarah Mueller is the Delaware politics reporter at WHYY News, and Sarah Petrowich is a state politics reporter at Delaware Public Media, our partner for the evening. Sarah and Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Shirley.
So tonight we're going to be moving through a series of topics like the recreational weed rollout, artificial intelligence, and property taxes. For our listeners at home, now is your chance to join the conversation live. So here's how to do it. You can call 888-477-9499. You can email askgovmeyer, that's M-E-Y-E-R, at whyy.org. And if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, just drop your comment in the chat. Now, Governor Meyer, before we dive in, I do want to give you a moment to just briefly talk about what you're hoping to accomplish over the next hour.
Good evening, Shirley, and good evening to Sarah and all the listeners out there. My name is Governor Matt Meyer. I'm the 76th governor of Delaware. 10 years ago, I was a public school teacher on the east side of Wilmington, a math teacher. I'm the first public school teacher ever elected governor in the state, in the state's history. And I, after experiences growing up in Delaware and then living around the world, I was a teacher who was just fed up with how things were working. Government cannot afford to be slow, bloated, or distracted. It has to deliver. That means less studies and more solutions, less silos and more collaboration, less division and more moving forward together. Our citizens, the people of our state, expect us to solve problems quickly with the same efficiency and urgency that they all demand from the private sector. That's why we're reshaping how we work. We're here to get things done. We're here to build affordable housing. We're here to lower the cost of healthcare for Delawareans. And most importantly, we're here to invest in the next generation of our youth. And I'm here tonight for the next hour to answer whatever questions people have. I have to quickly give a shout out. The genesis of this actually came from a listener of WHYY named Matt Meyer, me, who would listen to a show called Ask Governor Murphy that my now colleague, Governor Phil Murphy, has done regularly. And I think it's a wonderful way for public engagement in 2025. I look forward to answering the questions.
Okay, so we're going to jump right into it. Our first topic is free speech. And I want to start with an audience question that we received many times regarding the assassination of political activist Charlie Kirk. Now, NBC News reported that the military is considering an enlistment campaign that's encouraging young people to, quote, honor Kirk's legacy by enlisting. Now, Delaware State Representative Eric Morrison called this, quote, full-on Nazi youth recruitment. And we should mention that the Pentagon told Fox News that the NBC report was, in their words, 100% wrong. Now, that being said, Skylar from Newark and Paige from Felton ask about free speech, and Joseph, Susan, and other listeners want to know, what is your response to Morrison's comments?
So first, the murder of Charlie Kirk was horrific. There is no place for political violence in this country. 15 years ago, I was a U.S. diplomat in Iraq. I spent 12 months on a military base during a foreign war where regularly people were trying to assassinate Iraqis who spoke up. That has no place in a civilized society. Full stop. That's it. We need to be a place where people can freely share ideas. We need to be a place where people are not labeling each other and calling each other names. The way we move forward as a country is we talk openly about ideas to move things forward. I tell Democrats and Republicans, but especially Democrats in Delaware, we actually don't agree on everything. Mm-hmm. When two people sit down, they don't agree on everything. We have to find a way to disagree respectfully, to move forward respectfully as a community, as a state, and as a country. I'm not familiar with Representative Morrison's statement or the background that you gave, so I'm not going to comment on that in particular, but we need to make sure we move forward respectfully. There are issues in which, you know, we are going to be in agreement, and there are issues in which we're not going to be in agreement. Let's move forward as a country.
Have you reached out to Morrison at all or his office after this comment that you put out there?
You touched on this a little bit, Governor Meyer, but your administration has been signing several bills into law that expand protections of civil liberties. Most recently, you furthered free speech protections by signing bills to limit book bans in public libraries and furthering anti-SLAPP efforts. Do you have any comments around the recent national free speech discourse and anything your office is doing to further those protections?
Look, I think there needs to be freedom. We are a place of freedom. It's crazy in the 249th year of our country. There are limitations on freedom in schools across our country, in libraries, and in attempts to have public demonstrations, unlike I feel like we've seen, at least in my adulthood. It's not where we want to be as a society. I like to think that, as I indicated, when things are a little crazy in the world, when you turn on the TV and see national news that is concerning, I like to believe we can build a little bubble in Delaware. It's not a perfect bubble. We're not immune to what's going on outside our borders. But we're a small place. We're a state of neighbors where we can show the country and the world that we can disagree. We can, in spite of whatever disagreement, build great schools. We can have extraordinary healthcare systems. We can have affordable housing, and we can move together as a community.
I want to take this time right now to talk about this question. So Marie put a comment in, and she actually says, as you talk about this bubble that we can have in Delaware, she writes, Governor Meyer, please tell us something that we can be hopeful about.
Yeah, in the 1940s, there was a formula. I'm a math teacher. There was a formula written to fund public schools in Delaware. In 80 years, that basic formula has not been changed. The consequence of that is that if you look at how schools across our state are funded, it's really not equal. And, you know, the reflection of the greatest reflection of all of us in our society and our community is our education, and how we fund our schools is going to produce what we want of future generations. We are on the precipice, thanks to the leadership of Secretary Cindy Martin, longtime superintendent out in San Diego, and the former U.S. Deputy Secretary of Education. We are about to change that formula in a way that we believe will have lasting impact for Delaware kids and Delaware families. And we're very excited about it. So I want you to be hopeful about our schools. I know, just like me, I imagine many of you are skeptical. You've seen many governors and leaders come before with this idea and that idea. I am a teacher. Every day I wake up and I say, how can we turn around the outcomes that our kids are getting in our public schools? And we believe there is bright light ahead.
We have a caller on line two, John from Newark. John, welcome to Ask Governor Meyer. What's your question?
Hi, Governor Meyer. My name is John. I'm from Newark, and I'm a UD 2024 biotechnology grad. And I'm interested in settling down in Delaware, but among hard and uncertain times for science funding with billions of dollars worth of NIH grants terminated, why should I choose Delaware to pursue my career? How is Delaware prioritizing scientific research, especially biomedical research?
Hey, John, that's a fantastic question, and I agree with the basic premise of it, that we as a country are in a global competition to win the future, to develop the technologies, the biomedical, you know, advances of the future. I want them not only developed in America, I want them developed in Delaware. That's increasingly difficult with actions by the Trump administration, that I think when you look at disinvestment, underinvestment, and withdrawal and pausing of investment in really valuable and sometimes life-saving scientific research, we're not you know, we are at risk as a country of truly being left behind. In addition, I should add to it, and may not be popular to say, but I'm going to say it anyway, the attempt to charge $100,000 for certain foreign visas is definitely going to stifle the ability of leading scientists and scientific researchers and technologists from all over the world who, based on my experience, choose America today and want to be in America. There's a real threat that they may not choose America. That's the downside. The good news is you have a governor who's going to do everything we can using private dollars and public dollars. I'm not going to, you know, mislead you and say we can replace every dollar of disinvestment that our federal government is doing, but we're going to do everything we can. One of the first things I did is we got Merck. We signed a deal with Merck. They made a $1 billion investment to develop advanced oncological pharmaceuticals, literally cancer-curing drugs that are used all over the world, are going to be developed in Delaware. There are exciting private sector advances on the way. John, we're going to do everything we can to get university funding so that that advanced research happens at places like the University of Delaware and Delaware State.
Okay, I want to get this comment in. Miguel made a comment on YouTube, and just a brief answer if you could. Governor, could we see more partnerships with University of Delaware to expand their support in our public schools?
Yeah, the short answer is yes. University of Delaware is intensively involved in the complex problem of how to fund our schools. I had a call 2 weeks ago where leading researchers at the University of Delaware are redefining how we fund our schools. On top of that, there are additional ways that not just the University of Delaware, but Delaware State University and Del Tech can engage with our public schools, our public middle schools and high schools, and in some cases, our public elementary schools, to make sure kids are seeing the tremendous opportunity, the global opportunity that exists right from Delaware.
Okay. We're going to transition to energy and AI right now. Sarah P., you're going to set that subject up for us?
Yeah, and honestly, a little bit similar to John, just a different sector. You recently announced two major artificial intelligence initiatives in the first state, including an AI sandbox promoting startup companies to test AI technologies and Delaware's participation in OpenAI's certification program. Delaware is also poised to become the home of one of the largest data centers in the country, known as Project Washington, which is estimated to consume as much power as nearly double the homes in Delaware. Here's what you said about that project last month.
Delaware imports way too much electricity. We need to produce electricity. And having a large data center come here and just draw electricity off the grid is just a non-starter for me. I will do everything I can to make sure something like that doesn't happen.
So a lot of our audience wants to hear from you on this topic. Marianne in Delaware, Jane from Wilmington, and others wrote in before the show. Liz from Newark says data centers are going to use up our electricity and water for AI that is doing more harm than good for humanity. Bill from Pike Creek says if you support the data center, you support a project that will increase electric costs for residents and pollute the water and air in the country. So, Governor, please talk about these AI initiatives and energy.
Yeah, so with respect to the data center project, Project Washington, I have been clear that if you're coming with a data center project, what we call a large load tariff, a large load user of electricity, you cannot just pull from the grid. The problem with that is that with current demand on power generation and power transmission, you're going to cause, you, the developer of this data center, is going to cause a spike in power bills for Delaware families that benefit in no way from this development. So I've made it clear that you need to have your own power, basically. You're not going to do anything that has any impact on Delawareans' power. That's number one. Number two, many data center projects, not all of them, but many of them intensively use water and extract resources from the environment. Not just data centers, but any project that comes to our area to develop land. I was a county executive. You got to take care of the environment around us. I started a project called Green, or a program called Green NCC. We need to preserve our land, our air, and our water for future generations. It's of precious importance. Data centers are going to come and go, and they're not going to use and misuse our natural resources to do it. In terms of AI, I believe that there are opportunities in AI and there are many risks. Data centers is one of those risks. Security, privacy are among other risks. We're looking at opportunities to revolutionize how we educate students, looking at opportunities to revolutionize our workforce, to create the jobs of the future, the jobs of 2030, 2040 and beyond in Delaware using AI. But we're not going to do it by shortchanging our friends and neighbors.
Okay, so we're going to hear from some more listeners. We received several questions about the fee for electric vehicles. Mary from Wilmington wrote about it. A listener from Sussex County said, if someone has a hybrid, they still have to put gas in it. I think this tax is ridiculous. And Charlie in North Wilmington asks, have you considered that taxing hybrid owners is a bit excessive? So can you explain the fee and respond to the residents who have these concerns?
Well, I appreciate the concerns. I believe I'm actually the only governor in the country who moves around in an electric vehicle right now, who has an electric vehicle. And I think the transition to EVs is good. I know that might be a controversial statement, but I think EVs are good, and I hope the continued movement of consumers to electric vehicles is good. When that happens, there's a problem that a primary source for funding our road construction and preservation of our road network is a gas tax. Mm-hmm. And if vehicles are moving away from gas, again, something I'm very supportive of, we have to find a way to fund construction of our roads and rehabilitation of our roads. I just think EV owners, just like any other owners of a car, if you're using a road, you should pay your fair share. And that's true of me and true of everyone else. It's not intended in any way to be a tax on EV. I'm very supportive of additional subsidies for those purchasing electric vehicles and enhancements to tax credits that I know the federal government is working on taking away. I think we need to make sure that EVs are the vehicles of the future. They're talking about range.
You don't think this disincentivizes people, though, from buying an EV?
Look, I think you need to, anything that you purchase, the cost to the broader community, what an economist calls an externality, should be incorporated into the price of that good. So if you're driving a vehicle and it's causing wear and tear to our roads, I think you should pay for that. I think a gas vehicle that's causing additional harm to the environment should pay for that harm as well.
Okay. We are going to take a very short break now. When we return, we're going to talk about some controversy over recreational marijuana and a whole lot more. This is Ask Governor Meyer. We'll be right back. You're listening to Ask Governor Meyer on WHYY and Delaware Public Media. I'm Shirley Min. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about the issues impacting Delawareans, and we've already heard from many, many residents. Governor Matt Meyer is our guest, taking questions from listeners and two political reporters also with us, WHYY's Sarah Mueller and Delaware Public Media's Sarah Petrowich. To add your voice to the conversation, call 888-477-9499. You can email askgovmeyer@whyy.org. And if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, just drop your comment in the chat. Our next topic for the governor this evening is recreational marijuana, which became available for the first time in the first state in August. Sarah Petrowich, you're up.
Yeah, you're facing controversy on your veto of two pieces of legislation, one that would have limited countywide zoning restrictions on dispensaries and another regarding how to classify employers in the labor sector. You've repeatedly said that your relationship with the state legislature is good, but following the veto, State Senator Trey Pardee called you untrustworthy, saying that your office had agreed to let the marijuana zoning bill become law, which you have since denied.
And what's so wrong about this, besides the fact that the governor lied to me and proved himself to be untrustworthy, is the fact that the harm that it does to literally the dozens of small business people, in some cases, have invested everything that they have into trying to open up their businesses, and they literally have nowhere to put them.
Delaware Senate Democrats Chief of Staff Jesse Chatterton also said Senator Pardee's feelings resonate with several other senators. So what do you have to say to lawmakers and staff feeling like your working relationship is fractured?
First of all, I want to apologize to Governor Phil Scott of Vermont, who I got a note that he apparently drives an EV too. So during the break, I said earlier, in case you weren't listening, I said I was told I was the only EV driver among governors in the U.S. I guess there are others as well. Listen, I believe in recreational marijuana. I was very strongly supportive as county executive when it came to the desk of my predecessor, Governor Carney. I think legalizing recreational marijuana is the right thing to do. I do not think the state government should be saying and requiring communities, any community across our state, to open marijuana stores, recreational marijuana stores, 501 feet from schools. I think local jurisdictions, local communities should have the opportunity to choose what land use rules they want around recreational marijuana. Many states around the country have legalized recreational marijuana successfully, and some have done it unsuccessfully. I think it's important we have a partnership with local government. In terms of my relationship with the Senate and the House, this is a democracy with 62 senators and representatives, all independent-minded, all working very hard to represent the views of their constituents who often got into this business, like myself, because they feel very passionately about things. As I said at the start of the show, there are sometimes serious disagreements. It's important they're respectful. If you look at our first legislative session, our first 6 months in office, you compare it to the legislative session of governors going back through Governor Pete DuPont 40 years ago. We're proud of what we've accomplished. We think there's a lot of unity. We think we've brought people together, both Democrats and Republicans, to do some exciting things for the state. In terms of like historic division, I can just tell you the first governor of Delaware, he was called President McKinley. They called him presidents back then. He was actually kidnapped by the British. And legend has it that they went to the state Senate and said, hey, will you pay a small ransom to get the governor out? And the Senate said, no way, you can keep him. And he ended up leaving as governor, and they brought in a new governor. Things aren't that bad. We're doing all right.
Senator Pardee is, you know, the head of the budget committee. He said that he included several funding initiatives that you wanted in the budget, including the medical debt relief. That is one of your biggest legislative accomplishments. With this falling out with Senator Pardee, do you think that you can work together next year to
Absolutely.
Get your initiatives funded?
I'm confident that Senator Pardee, like every senator, each of the 21 senators, each of the 41 state representatives are dedicated to moving Delaware forward, especially in this time of historic division. But we have some crazy things going on out there outside Delaware. There's no excuse for us not working together. Not everyone's going to love each other, right? But we got to work together to move the state forward. And I'm confident Senator Pardee and others will find a way to come together to move forward.
We have a question from Bob from Hocassin, who says, he observed a family exiting a vehicle with small children and a cloud of cannabis smoke poured out when they opened the door. The question is, what should the state do to prevent children from being harmed by the product that the state legalized? And to another point, you know, I'll be driving down 95 and I will be smelling whiffs of it as well on the highway. So let's answer Bob's question, which is, what should the state do to prevent children from being harmed by the product that the state legalized?
So based on initial indications, we got, you know, within months of, it was years in the making, but within months of me being sworn in, we opened the first recreational marijuana stores. It looks like going to be millions of dollars of tax revenue coming in, and some of that revenue is going to be used for community safety and education. We're going to do what we can, but let me be clear. When we start something new like this, I started a couple of companies. I understand that the legislation, the rules we have around recreational marijuana may not be perfect on day one. We're going to work tirelessly with Delaware and Delawareans and legislators to make sure that we provide appropriate protections for communities. To be clear, I think one of those protections is making sure neighborhoods and communities have some semblance of control over where these stores go.
There's an interesting comment too from YouTube. Christian writes, hello, Governor Meyer. I'm a student at Newark Charter, not a fan of the legalization of marijuana. Do you think the legalization could encourage the use of drugs for minors?
when I look at it, I think that that marijuana in many ways is no more harmful than alcohol or than cigarettes, number one. Number two, our past throughout my lifetime of recreational marijuana not being legal led to mass incarceration of black and brown populations. It led to people's lives being ruined sometimes because of chemical addiction. So I'm not, as governor, standing up and saying everybody go smoke weed. I'm saying that we need to do work to make sure we keep people safe, just as we do with alcohol and tobacco. And we're going to raise some revenue and invest to do just that.
Okay, before we go on to the next part of the program, we do have a caller on line two, Emmy from Newark, Delaware. Emmy, what's your question for the governor?
Hi, Governor Meyer. My name is Emmy, and I'm a graduate student at UD. I study earth and environmental science, and right now I'm focusing on coastal erosion, which for Delaware presents a special issue with the state having such a low elevation, so many coastal homes. But my question for you is, how do you plan on protecting Delaware's coast, both the physical shoreline and the residents living there?
Emmy, thank you for your work, for your research, and for your question. Delaware is the lowest lying state in the country. Our coastal areas flood regularly when there's a rainstorm. I don't remember the name of it, but about a month ago, a hurricane rolled in and it was big news for a day or two that it was coming here. And then it turned in the other direction and was a non-story. But in the coastal communities of Delaware, it remained a story because even though the eye of the storm was hundreds of miles away, there was flooding. We have committed to investing nearly $25 million in coastal resiliency projects. An $8 million investment in Indian River is protecting dunes, families, and businesses. Protecting beaches is vitally important for our environment and the sustainability of communities, but it's also really important for our economy and our way of life. What's ironic is that in the past, we've had a lot of partnership, and partnership means a lot of things, most especially millions of dollars of funding. We've had a lot of partnership from Washington. That partnership seems to be, maybe it's a mixed metaphor, drying up a bit. The money is not flowing the way it has in the past from the current Trump administration, the current Environmental Protection Agency, and other agencies. The irony is that many of the people denying us funding in Washington vacation at the same Delaware beaches that are flooding and are probably the first to complain when there are road closures and the like from the flooding. So, Emmy, I appreciate the question. I appreciate your work. We're arm in arm with you in doing everything we can to protect coastal resiliency in a changing climate that we anticipate in coming years is only going to get worse.
Okay, we're going to move on to our next topic, property taxes. WHYY Sarah Mueller, we're going to start with you.
After an outcry from Newcastle County homeowners over huge property tax hikes, lawmakers approved legislation to allow school districts to split their residential and commercial rates. Lawmakers allowed school districts to set a higher rate for commercial properties, but landlords are suing in response. Here's Newcastle County's attorney, Nicholas Brannick, saying at a court hearing this week that people are confused about what they owe.
I mean, there's an extraordinary amount of confusion right now among taxpayers on, you know, whether they should pay the bills that are already out there or whether they shouldn't, whether they're going to incur penalties if they don't. We certainly don't want to add to that. The situation is bad enough.
Will the state ultimately prevail in court, do you think? Or does the bill that you signed directly hurt renters as they claim?
Look, thank you. Property tax reform must be fair. In Delaware had last reassessed property in Sussex County in 1974. Bet you many of the listeners, based on the number of college students calling, weren't even alive then. In Newcastle County in 1983 and in Kent County in 1987. That is entirely too long. The effect of that is that schools were underfunded. There was litigation 7-8 years ago. That ultimately the state and the counties lost a few rounds and then settled, and the settlement included a reassessment. It's really important we get this right. It's certainly very hard to do for the counties to do after, 40 years, or in Sussex County case, 50 years of letting this problem fester and get worse from year to year. I think we'll get through it as a state and as communities. It's important that we do the hard work, ultimately, and the counties do the hard work, the school districts do the hard work to make sure what people are charged on the property taxes is fair.
Is the legislation constitutional?
I believe it is constitutional, but we respect the independence of the judiciary, and we'll see how that plays out.
So as you know, Governor, this was a wildly popular topic with our audience. Glenn in Newcastle County says, quote, my 2025 total property tax bill is now 50% higher than 2024. Marie from Fairfax says her home was greatly overestimated. Here's a question from Ryan in Middletown. He says lots of people are moving here for low taxes, but we're also in a funding crunch across many areas of importance. Are there any plans to add an upper income tax bracket or increase taxes to better plan for the future and then manage current growth?
I've been clear going back to when I ran for governor, and this is in the 21st century, no one tells you to do this when you run for governor. I don't think it's fair that Delaware families making $6 million a year pay the same tax rate as Delaware families making $60,000 a year. That's wrong. I think it's morally and ethically wrong. I talked about it during the campaign. I proposed it to the legislature last year. We did some work on it. It got amended a few times. It ultimately has not moved forward, but I am committed to finding a way to make sure the wealthiest of the wealthy pay their fair share. And quite frankly, especially in this time when we have a federal administration that's doing everything it can to make sure the millionaires and billionaires get cuts in taxes and reduction in fees that just isn't fair to the working people in Delaware.
We have several comments from YouTube and Facebook, Game Over on YouTube, and Jim Bob McGee. The names are kind of funny. They talk about
Game Over.
Yeah.
On YouTube?
So, how are you going to? There's two questions. They basically are talking about affordable housing in Delaware. Game Over specifically highlights how there's a lot of transplants with higher salaries coming into Delaware, mm-hmm. driving up the home costs and the housing market, and that Delawareans are actually being priced out. They can't mm-hmm. afford to buy. Jim Bob states he's a state of Delaware employee. He can't afford a house in Delaware. What's the solution here?
There are two solutions that we're laser focused on. One is subsidy for working people, for working families, expanding the caps on income that you need to get some funding from the state, from government, and in some cases from private banks to assist you in purchasing an affordable home, to assist you in paying your rent. We're doing everything we can. We committed something like $25, $30 million in my first budget to doing that. That's the first thing. The second thing is that there's this basic problem that we have in Delaware and that many communities across our country are having, and it's a supply-demand problem. That as long as you have so many people wanting rental housing, so many people looking for an affordable $200,000, $300,000 house to buy, and limited inventory, a limited number of homes, prices are going to continue to go up. It's basic economics. The solution is to make sure we plan our land, that we plan what goes where across our land to build sufficient housing, not just for today and tomorrow, but for 5 years and 10 years from now. We have an Office of State Planning that I believe in the past has had too much of an advisory role and needs to have a more forceful role in making sure places across our state where there's great shortages of affordable housing, we create appropriate incentives and we make sure the land use hurdles with permitting and with zoning are removed to make sure that people have opportunities to purchase a dream. One other thing about that, about land use and changing land use. During COVID, I was a county executive and a lot of commercial properties became vacant. Mm-hmm. We, when I was at the county, rewrote aspects of our land use code to make it much easier to transform a commercial use into a residential use. So encouraging that as well, just wholesale changes to provide more housing opportunities for Delawareans.
Okay, we have less than a minute, but I want to get to Chris's comment on YouTube. What's the status on the proposed commuter rail line between Wilmington and Sussex County?
We're doing what we can. To be honest, doing a grand project like that without federal assistance is really, really hard. Sean Duffy and the Secretary of Transportation, U.S. Secretary of Transportation, are not big fans of rail, of bike, of transit. They're all in with cars. We're going to do what we can to move the project forward and also move forward with plans to have SEPTA more efficiently and more frequently go to Philly.
Okay, time for another short break. We'll be right back with more Ask Governor Meyer. You're listening to Ask Governor Meyer on WHYY and Delaware Public Media. I'm Shirley Min. If you're just joining us, we've covered clean energy, free speech, property taxes, and more. We have several more topics to get to with the governor and our two reporters. But first, let's do some rapid-fire audience questions. Governor Meyer, we're going to ask that you try to answer each of these in about 30 seconds, okay? Kelly from Wilmington says, I've been waiting for my personal income tax refund for 20 weeks now, which is ridiculous. Who has oversight of the state tax division? It is inefficient.
Secretary Michael Smith, if there's a way for her to stay on and for us to get her email address or phone number, I'll follow up with her personally. Okay.
David from Middletown says the state is ignoring all of the potential revenue from online sports betting companies like DraftKings and FanDuel. He says many residents do not like the company Bet Rivers and they drive to Maryland and PA to place their bets. Your response?
I agree with that. My understanding is that's true. That was a deal signed by my predecessor. We're going to take a good look at it and see what we can do to move Delaware forward.
Okay. Scott Milton writes, we met Governor Meyer at a campaign appearance in Lewis. He said he would work on programs encouraging civility between Democrats and Republicans. What have you done?
Well, first of all, I've collaborated with Republicans on everything from online wine sales to getting energy production in Delaware. We just announced a nuclear power production task force that we're collaborating very closely with Republican leadership on our state with. There are things that the Republic, I don't want to sugarcoat it. There are things that the Republican Party right now nationally stands for and is doing that I find reprehensible. We are one America. We are an inclusive, diverse America. I want to be a state that celebrates it. But insofar as I'm in agreement with Republicans, or even when I'm not, we need to be respectful and work together. We're doing everything we can to model it. And if my friend in Lewis has ideas, we're happy to look at them.
Finally, Ricky in Dover asks, can legislators protect the citizens of Delaware from actions performed by ICE in other states?
Man, this is going to take a little longer than 30 seconds, but Monday I was asked by the leaders of La Esperanza, La Plaza, La Red Health Center, and La Rosa in the Georgetown area in Sussex County to sit with the Attorney General for 90 minutes and not say a word and just listen to stories of people who live in our state. It is horrific. I am the grandson of a young boy that came here with his family fleeing the Holocaust in Europe. And right now, there are ICE agents who are doing horrific things, arresting people, detaining them. There was a woman there who, 3 days before she gave birth to a child, the father of the child was taken from a store where they were shopping for baby clothes. The mother literally has no way to survive, doesn't have money for rent, doesn't have money for food, doesn't have money for clothes. It is absolutely reprehensible. I signed a few bills protecting us from ICE. We would do everything we can to protect the basic human rights and dignity that every human being deserves.
Okay, want to shift to some recent changes at the federal level that are impacting states nationwide. Governor Meyer, you are the Commander-in-Chief of the Delaware National Guard. Patty says, I hope you will please be in favor of allowing President Trump to bring the National Guard to clean up Wilmington. Our listener Aaron asks, what can you actually do other than express disapproval if the current administration decided to send the National Guard to cities in Delaware to reduce crime?
Well, first of all, sending the National Guards, I'm the Commander-in-Chief of the National Guard of Delaware. In many instances that are talked about and I'm asked about, the president does not have the legal right to send the National Guard. So the first thing is that National Guard are number one, Delaware National Guard, number one, they are made up of our neighbors, our friends and neighbors, and they're also heroes who raise their hand to serve. I'm not going to send them on a ridiculous mission just to sidetrack and get the Epstein files off the front pages. We're not doing that. If if we find that, that there's trash in Wilmington and it needs to be cleaned up, I'll sit down with the mayor and figure out a plan of how we hire people to do that. I'm not going to send our heroes trained for public service and to go and do, you know, to do hurricane relief and to fight foreign wars to go clean up trash in cities. That's not what they're for.
Okay, we have a caller on line one. Brooks has a question about food insecurity for college students. Brooks, what's your question?
Hi, I'm just calling to ask about your plan to address food insecurity and greater basic needs issues among college students in Delaware.
Brooks, I really appreciate the question. We launched a Food is Medicine initiative, or I should say relaunched. And I encourage you to get involved. If you reach out to my office, we'll get you on the list. What we are doing is we're targeting food deserts, areas around our state and individuals around our state who do not have access to quality, nutritious food, and developing what we call farm-to-table pipelines. Farming is one of the biggest industries in Delaware, and it's ironic when you have people across the state who don't have access to that healthy, you know, food, or it's simply unaffordable. So we're going to work hard. The federal government is cracking down on USDA on SNAP funding. We understand there are gaps to fill. We're working with the food bank and other organizations to make sure that no one in Delaware goes hungry.
You have led a push for Congress to include subsidies for Affordable Care Act plans in the short-term funding resolution being negotiated to avoid a government shutdown. Here's you at that press conference last week.
When families are forced to choose between paying for housing, grocery, or health care, our entire economy suffers right here in Delaware, in the region, and really across our country.
Should Democrats stand firm on the subsidies which help make these health insurance plans more affordable, even if it leads to a government shutdown?
I think Americans are being lied to by the president and the Republican leadership in Washington, who were elected largely on the backs of working families who believed that this president and the Republican Congress would deliver lower prices and higher quality of living, cheaper, more affordable health care and housing. And what they've done, often when a lot of people aren't paying attention, is the exact opposite. House Resolution 1, just this past July, is going to spike health care costs for tens of thousands of Delawareans and millions of Americans by ending certain subsidies on the ACA exchange, the Affordable Care Act exchange. I led an effort along with 17 other of my fellow governors saying this needs to change right away. In terms of whether the government should be shut down over it, those are very complex negotiations. I leave it in the hands of Senator Coons, Senator Blunt Rochester, and Representative McBride to look at whether you know what the various issues are that will push us towards a shutdown. But I think it's vitally important. It's vitally important to our healthcare system. Let me say one more thing about that, because my wife is an emergency room doctor. And we talk about it nearly every day. The situation, the environment in emergency rooms, not just in Delaware, but across our country, is not what it should be in 2025 America. I imagine many listeners out there have been to an emergency room where they waited for 8, 10, 12, 14 hours. It's not what it should be. We should be working with the federal government to address that problem. Democrat, Republican, who cares? We're talking about saving lives. But what's actually happening is through ending these Affordable Care Act subsidies, what's going to happen is tens of thousands of people are going to lose their health insurance. Instead of being able to go to their doctor, their primary care doctor, their specialist, they're not going to go to the doctor. They're going to end up in the emergency room, which actually makes care worse for you and me, even if we have health care. It means when we go to the emergency room, the wait time is going to be even longer. The care is going to be even worse. And that's sad for America. That's not moving America forwards. That's more moving us backwards.
So on the topic of healthcare, we have received some questions related to vaccines, which is just a chaotic situation right now, to say the least. Amy from Wilmington asks, I thought Delaware was going to join the Northeast Public Health Collaboration, but now it doesn't look like Delaware
is included.
Yeah, we did.
I think there was some miscommunication in terms of a press release sent out out of New York or something. But yeah, we did join the coalition. There's a coalition out west with Oregon and Washington. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to name all the states. And there's one in Massachusetts. We're in the coalition with the state of Massachusetts. In addition, we empowered our Division of Public Health, working it with a pharmacy board, to effectively write a prescription for the COVID-19 vaccine for all Delawareans. You're not required to get the vaccine, which I think is important. Do your research. Talk to your doctor. Talk to people you trust. And make a decision about whether you think the COVID-19 vaccine is right for you and your family.
Okay. What about for young kids, the MMR vaccine? Is that...
Let me just keep it simple. We can do everything we can to follow the science. Mm-hmm. There was a time not too long ago when the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, when the National Institutes of Health were apolitical organizations. If you have good science, we use it. If you don't have good science, we don't use it. We're going to do everything we can here in Delaware to just watch the science and pay attention to the peer-reviewed articles that are coming out and take the advice of some of the leading medical professionals in the world.
Okay. We're going to briefly touch on the state budget now. Sarah Petrowich with Delaware Public Media, your question.
You told reporters recently there are three major factors contributing to a likely precarious upcoming fiscal year, which includes unprecedented program cuts at the federal level, the drying up of large-scale federal investments, and Delaware's recent history of spending outpacing its revenue growth. I know we're waiting on next month's numbers from our State Budget Advisory Committee, known as DFAC, that's coming in October, but focusing on that last piece of Delaware spending, do you see substantial budget cuts as an important part of the funding piece moving forward?
Sorry, the last part was the Trump administration.
The third part was that Delaware's spending has far outpaced its revenue growth. So what are you going to do to help combat that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a doger, right? I'm not into doge. I think there are times you need to get into government and you cut and refine with a scalpel, not with a chainsaw. And when they're process of doing it in some small ways and may do it in some bigger ways. But I think it's really important. I think it's just important generally every 5-10 years, we need to take a hard look at any organization, say, how do we refine what we do and make it work for 2026 and beyond?
But I know we didn't necessarily see those cuts this past fiscal year. Is that something you think that's really going to be necessary this upcoming fiscal year?
Sure. I think you're going to see attempts to do what we do more efficiently, no doubt.
How do we do the shortfall? How do we cover the shortfall of SNAP funding? It's going to be an increased cost of administrating the program to states. How do we fill that?
Yeah, it's a great question. Getting food assistance to our most vulnerable is among our highest priorities. I'm committed to Delaware not to leave anyone behind, even in a time when I think, quite frankly, the federal government is leaving us behind. Delaware is a donor state, which means Delawareans contribute under Biden years, normal times. Delawareans contribute a lot more to the federal pie than they take in terms of services and resources. And so I think these cuts to SNAP, to Medicaid, the increase in administrative costs really aren't fair. Regardless, we're going to put our head down and do everything we can. You want to know if it's, you know, $5 million that's lost, if it's $50 million, if it's $500 million, are we going to replace that? The reality, Sarah, is that there are a lot of needs, right? And the truth is probably we're not going to have the resources to backfill every single need. What we're doing as the needs come in, we're looking at ways where we can truly serve people. If we can make programs more efficient, if we can take a $10 million program and feed the same number of people, assist the same number of people for $9.5 million, $9 million without losing much on quality, we're going to do that. But it's more an art form and a complex puzzle than simply kind of, are we going to fill this bucket or not?
Okay, Governor, I want to acknowledge Delaware senior citizens specifically right now. This is a fast-growing population in Delaware, particularly downstate. We received several related comments. Jane from Ellesmere asked about the cost of utilities for seniors. And here's one question from Patricia in Newcastle County. She asks, what can you do to assist senior citizens financially in our state?
So first, as we set up through the SEU, the State Electric Utility. I don't know what it stands for, but if you look up Delaware SEU, we set up an assistance fund to provide cash assistance to qualifying Delawareans. Now, if you're a high income earner, if you're making hundreds of thousands of dollars, plural hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, you're probably not going to qualify. If you're a single individual making $100,000 a year, you're probably not going to qualify, but there is cash assistance out there for utilities. In addition, I know local governments have assistance available to repair homes, to do home repair on roofs and things of that sort. If you have additional questions, specific questions on areas of need, please do contact my office. We have constituent services that will be happy to help you out.
Okay, I think we have time for this one email question. William in Milford writes, does the governor have any plans to control rent increases for seniors or anybody on a fixed income like Social Security? My rent's increased 46% since I moved here, and my COLAs have not kept anywhere near the increases.
Yeah, as I said, there is a serious crunch on housing. I know in Milford it's particularly acute, and quite frankly, a lot of it is related to people wanting to be in Delaware. They found it a nice, calm place to live in a crazy time. We're going to do everything we can to make sure housing is constructed, that housing is rehabbed and renovated, and rents stay low.
Okay, well, we're going to just have to leave it there. This has been a great conversation. It has been a very lively discussion. Thank you to all of the audience members who have participated. We did leave a lot on the table. We will be picking the conversation back up in a month. Governor Matt Meyer of Delaware, thank you for taking all of our questions this hour.
Great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate this opportunity at a time when you know, you feel like we can't really just sit down and talk in a civil way about issues anymore. Mm-hmm. I imagine there are people called in that don't agree with everything I do, right? But let's move forward as Delawareans and Americans and recognize we can have conversations like this, and hopefully we'll do it again next month.
Yeah, let's keep the comments coming and the conversation going for sure. We also heard from Delaware Public Media's Sarah Petrowich and WHYY News reporter Sarah Mueller. Sarah P. and Sarah M., the Sarahs, thank you both for joining us.
Thanks, Shirley.
And thank you very much to the production team behind our show. Ask Governor Meyer is produced by Paige Murray Bessler. Tina Calliquet and Adam Stanishevsky are our technical engineers. Delaware Public Media's news director is Tom Byrne. WHYY's is Mark Eichmann. Also at Delaware Public Media, thank you to operations manager Thomas Terry and the station's general manager Tom Interante. Kevin McCory is our executive producer. Joan Isabella is WHYY's audio general manager. Thank you to the communications team at the Office of the Governor. From the Ken and Valerie Baker studio at WHYY in Philadelphia, in partnership with Delaware Public Media, I'm Shirley Min. Thank you so much for joining us.